Chapter 35. What next? My life had shifted into a higher gear with my new partner, Yannis Aronis, the handsome Sydney-based Greek oyster baron who'd come into my life by accident. I was excited at the prospect of a guided tour through his culture, because at 22, I was already an unabashed culture junkie. My romantic partner switch meant I was now relieved of almost all domestic duties, because we ate out 6 nights a week. A far cry from the years of having to make magic with mints. Sometimes we visited Greek restaurants owned by Yannis's customers, and were always warmly welcomed. I'd always start with oysters, followed by a traditional Greek dish, because I was keen to try something different each time. As well as intimate dinners, we were invited to both Greek and Australian gatherings. The standout for me was taking Yanni to his first cocktail party, on the posh north shore of Sydney, before rolling onto a Greek party, in a less posh part of the inner city. In the time-honoured tradition of Anglo-Australian cocktail parties, we gathered at dusk to stand around, shifting our leg from one to the other, at the same time sipping drinks, and nibbling finger food, whilst making light inconsequential conversation. An hour and a half later, we moved on to the Greeks. I'd already discovered that whenever Greeks gather, chairs line the perimeter of the spaces, either inside or outside, a chair for everyone. After greetings and introductions, Yanni, speaking Greek, proceeded to regale those assembled with an account of his first Australian cocktail party on the elite north side. His audience was captivated, hanging on every word as he went on and on and on, describing every small detail of the event before delivering the punchline, in English, for my benefit. All that, and they couldn't afford chairs. The room then erupted with spontaneous shrieks of laughter. A Friday or Saturday night outing I particularly enjoyed was visiting the Bouzoukia, the Greek nightclub. Sometimes we were joined by Yanni's Greek friends or mine, keen to experience this fascinating facet of relocated Greek life. On our arrival, Yanni was always greeted by his musician friends with
Gia sou, Johnny.
Hi Yanni. After which the show began. As quick as a flash, without a word spoken, Yanni's favorite tipple, a bottle of Johnny Walker Black Label whiskey and cans of Coca-Cola, would appear on our table, with a shot of ouzo for me. After a couple of drinks, Yanni would sometimes dance the saibekiko, a traditional Greek dance for men. I loved to watch him dance, as there were centuries of tradition in every step. Things hotted up around midnight, and went on until the wee small hours, so a bouzoukia session best suited serious stayers. I reveled in Yanni's sense of adventure. He was up for just about anything I suggested. One evening we went to the Capitol Theatre to see Jesus Christ Superstar, the super popular musical that had taken Sydney by storm. Yanni was raised in the Greek Orthodox faith. Before he left for Australia, his mother gave him a heavy gold cross. Wanting to dress appropriately for the superstar performance, I asked him if I could wear his cross, with my long-sleeved full-length fine brown corduroy shift, I'd made from leftover curtain fabric, for the occasion. He agreed, and off we went to the theater. As we filed out after the show, I asked him what he thought of the performance, expecting a profound philosophical response. But I was disappointed, as he simply scoffed, replying, "I know the story." A less enjoyable experience and one I'd rather forget, took place at a party one Saturday night at Yanis's electrician mate's bachelor flat, above his electrical shop, in Newtown, an inner city suburb that was home to many Greek immigrants at this time. His mate was clearly a party animal, as his not very large upstairs living room was dominated by an impressive bar, with columns supporting a superstructure above it. All the vertical spaces and niches were covered in red velvet, each niche with a miniature cream-colored statue of Athena, lit from above. The overall effect was stunning. When we arrived, the flat was jumping with a crush of people, mostly Greeks. We stayed for a while and then took our leave, descending the long flight of stairs to the side street below. As we walked to the car, from an upstairs window, a bloke yelled out something in Greek. Yanni stopped dead, and to my surprise, in a matter of minutes, the street was filled with most of the partygoers. Lots of angry banter I couldn't understand followed, and thankfully there was no fisticuffs. The only belligerent gesture was the antagonist kicking the front tire of Yanni's treasured Volvo, as we were about to drive off. Later he explained that the street kerfuffle was in defense of my virtue. Yanni had family in Sydney. His older brother Alexei and his wife Sophia had also immigrated from Sparta some years before. They lived in Leichhardt, a suburb adjoining Annandale, and had two children. We occasionally spent time with them, particularly on Greek feast days. My first Greek weekend with the Aronis family was a profound experience. As arranged, we gathered at Alexei and Sophia's house late on Easter Saturday night to attend midnight mass at St. Nicholas Greek Orthodox Church, in nearby Marrickville. All six of us fitted comfortably into their sedan for the run to the church. As we entered, we were each given a thin white candle with a white tulle frill before we managed to find space on a pew at the back of the church. Whilst we sat waiting for the service to begin, people continued to crowd in behind us, where there was standing room only. The service began with prayers sung by the priest, who was wearing richly embellished robes and headdress. Then, just before midnight, all the lights were switched off, and silence fell on the now pitch-black interior, with the only light coming from a single candle burning at the front of the church. We were enveloped by the hush of expectancy as we waited for the church bells to ring out midnight, after which the priest loudly announced,
Christos Anasti.
Christ is risen. Before he took up the lighted candle and used it to light the candles of those worshippers nearest him, who then turned to light the candles of those seated behind. We sat in silence as the candle lighting continued, until the church was filled with soft flickering candle light. It was a profoundly moving experience. After the service, we drove back to Alexei and Sophia's house with a lighted candle in the car with us. Before we entered the house, Alexei used the candle to make the sign of the cross on the lintel above the front door, leaving a faint grey mark. The candle was then taken inside to light the three-arm candelabra on the dining table, after which we tucked into the traditional midnight meal, prepared ahead of time by Sophia. We were each served a bowl of majoritsa, Easter soup, made from the meat and offal of a lamb, the intestines, sweetbreads, lung, heart, kidney, liver and brain, served in a lemon sauce and eaten with tsureki, a traditional sweet Easter bread. All this was washed down with liberal quantities of retsina wine. I found it difficult to swallow the chunks of cooked offal, possibly because the various offal textures were unfamiliar, or maybe because of the acerbic taste of the bitter herb and lemon sauce, or both. Obviously majoritsa was an acquired taste, and I was very relieved to learn it was only served at Easter. Thankfully, another serving was a year away. I was grateful to be included in the Aronis family's Easter celebration, because it nourished my insatiable curiosity about cultures other than my own. This and other Greek gatherings exposed me to numerous aspects of transplanted Greek culture, the food, the language, the dances, the history and the customs, with Yanni as my guide. He was happy to answer my endless string of questions, as I sought a deeper understanding of his culture and his country. Thank you, Yanni. On reflection. Cooking. When Charlie and I split up, the daily grind of cooking an evening meal for two became a thing of the past. Our short-lived burst of dinner party entertaining had petered out some months earlier, after which I promised myself I'd steer clear of hosting dinner parties from here on in. And I've held fast to my promise. In the time of Yanni, returning hospitality developed an interesting twist, taking the form of Sunday brunch. As I'd access to an unlimited quantity of the freshest, plumpest oysters in Sydney, each guest was allocated 5 dozen oysters, served natural, Mornay or Kilpatrick, washed down with lots of cheap champagne. Needless to say, my oyster-loving friends were lining up for an invitation. For me, the best part of this arrangement was that preparation was minimal and cleaning up afterwards was a breeze. Oyster shells into the bin, followed by a spot of washing up, and it was all over. A far cry from the all-day dinner party ordeal I'd put myself through before Yanni. Defending a woman's virtue. All these years on, when I reflect upon having my virtue defended, I wonder if there was more to it. Was the derogatory remark flung in our direction a reflection on Yanis's choice of an Australian girlfriend? Possibly. Or was it something else? I knew that most single Greek men who were living in Sydney in the 1970s had limited contact with young Australian women, other than the belly dancers working at the scattering of Greek nightclubs. For Yanni to be dating a stylishly dressed Australian woman, with her own house and a well-paid job, must have been a novelty for him, and by extension, his family and friends. Racism? There is no doubt that Yanis's Greek friends were as suspicious of me, as my Australian friends were, of him. My circle seemed to fall into two quite distinct camps. In the first, those who'd travelled and thought Yanni was interesting, because of his Greek heritage. Those in the second, considered Yanni an uneducated Greek immigrant, and therefore my inferior. But nothing could have been further from the truth. Facts. The Saibekiko is a traditional dance for men only, though, more recently Greek women are also joining in. It's sometimes known as the Eagle Dance because of the free-flowing body movements and the steps of the dancer within an area of about 2 square meters. Greek Easter. For the Greek Orthodox, Easter rituals are the most important in the church calendar and follow 40 days of Lenten fasting. The Candle Smoke Cross. The faint grey cross remains above the front door throughout the year, and is a tangible symbol that the light of the resurrection has blessed the home and its occupants. Athena. Is the ancient Greek goddess associated with wisdom, warfare, and handicrafts? She was regarded as the patron and protectress of various cities across Greece, particularly the city of Athens. The Parthenon on the Acropolis of Athens is dedicated to her. In art, she's generally depicted wearing a helmet and holding a spear, but not always.